just want to extend a warm welcome to everyone on this most holy Shabbat, the Day of Atonement 2019. For those of us who have accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His atoning sacrifice, and the grace that has been extended to all humanity, if there's a day on our calendar for the whole year that we should be gathered in recognition of that sacrifice, it is today. Because the deeper meaning of atonement and what it means for all of us is brought to the forefront on this day. I was just traveling from home today, just noticed how the roads were scanty. I don't know. I rarely drive during midday on a weekday, but it was smooth sailing. And so I was saying that to someone here today, and they said, well, a lot of businesses are closed because the Jewish holiday, remember. Because even a Jew, no matter how secular they are, this is one day they pause. On this day, very significant for Christendom, but yet it goes unrecognized for other days, you know, those other man-made days. I thought I'd just begin this presentation, the atoning sacrifice, by getting a feel from you. So I'll just pause for a few minutes just to get some feedback. In your estimation, in your thinking, what has been the most significant event since creation? Just want to get your thoughts. I have mine. I don't know if I'll share them with you, but let me hear yours. What has been the most significant event since creation? Wena.
For me, it would be Jesus dying on the cross to reconcile us back to God for the fall of man.
Okay, atonement. Okay. Any other view?
The resurrection, Christ's resurrection from the dead.
Okay.
For me, it's the Calvary, the resurrection, and the Passover.
Okay, thanks.
I would say, yes, that is very significant. But when God made us in His image and gave us to take care, when He made us in His image, then He died in the image He made us in.
Okay, thanks. Any other comment?
The creation of the heavens and the earth.
Thank you, young man, for being so brave. No one else? We'll just move on then. Okay?
One more.
Yes, Brother Tony.
My acceptance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Thanks. Some very... If no one else, some very interesting comments. All of these are debatable in your own mind. Some would say, well, maybe it's the birth, because without the incarnation, we couldn't have an atonement. And without a creation, we couldn't have us. Without a resurrection, there will be no hope. So they're all tied together, as we can see coming out of that answer. But I believe atonement is in a kind of different sphere or category. And I'm going to use the example that without the atonement, I don't think any of us would leave our homes or work or whatever to be here today. That there would be no need for it. The fall of man in Eden would have been just that. There would be no use arguing for a resurrection. There would be no use for an atonement if Christ, if Yahweh did not send his only begotten Son to accomplish all of what he accomplished. So it's, I don't think, in my estimation, there's a definitive answer, because they're all tied together. One leads into the next. One is a means to an end, and so on. Of course, the world has its own views on what has been the most significant event. If God is in the picture, maybe not. Maybe not. What I want to do today, I want to go back to the very roots of atonement and what it meant back in the Old Testament and what it means today. Because when you get the imagery of the Old Testament and what was atoned for, you realize that that could never be it. For one, they were temporary. Last for a specific period of time. And in the example of the priest, he had to go up every year to make that sacrifice of sins on behalf of the people. So it was pointing to something much bigger. There was a bigger picture coming. Because oftentimes I wonder, you know, what went down in Eden. Did God have to, you know, when you're driving on the highway and you GPS with the GPS and you miss a turn, and you have to replan or reconfigure it and give you a new route? Or did God see what was coming ahead and the plans were already there? What we see coming from Genesis, the Genesis stories, is a vision of what is to come. And that is why these annual Sabbaths are so significant. Because in them is that imagery all tied up. Leviticus outlined them and you can read them and you just, then that's it. But hidden or not understood by many people of that plan that is outlined in the appointed times of God. And that is why you and I wouldn't be here tomorrow or yesterday. Today is an appointed time. You have that appointment with God. Just like how you have your dental and you have your doctor's appointment. It's an appointment with Yahweh to be here before the throne of grace. And for a particular reason, because he's telling us in this appointed time, or he's reminding us at this appointed time of what this atonement is going to mean for humanity and for you and I. So each one of these appointed times, last week it was trumpets, Feast of Trumpets. It was an appointed time to tell us, prepare, Jesus Christ is coming. Today, the reminder is the mercy that has been extended to us, the grace that has been extended to us, will be fulfilled when that trumpet sounds. And the constitution of you and I will change. The appointed time ahead, next week, the Feast of Tabernacles, again, it's the appointed time to tell us that, wait, forget all your troubles, put them aside for a while, get out of Babylon, move away from your home, come to this place to remind you of a time that is coming that has no sorrow that you go through now, a time that has no pain that you go through now. So we can see how the appointed times of God is working out in this plan that God has. And you know what? It's flawless. It's a flawless plan. It's a promise that will be fulfilled perfectly. How can you go wrong with that? It's a plan that will be fulfilled perfectly. So it gives you and I the hope of a better tomorrow. So it's good we are here. So you have come to recognize that hope and how real it is. How real it is. Because you know what? On the 21st, we'll elect a new government in this country. Whoever wins, it doesn't matter, because people are going to still be upset. Because there's no human government who has ever provide the wherewithal and everything satisfactory to every human being. Amen. And it shows the imperfection of this system. And it shows the kingdom of God supreme and above all other kingdoms. Amen. Above all other kingdoms. So brethren, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong. So we're going to delve a little back into the old to bring out the new. So the primary objective of the atonement in the past, yes, was to make up or to atone for sins of the people and other things as well. It wasn't just for the people. I'm going to look at some of that today. The blood of goats and sheep and birds, bulls, are listed among the animals worthy of sacrifice. But then there was also the grain offering and the oil offering and the drink offering and so on. Those were forms of atonement as well. Ransom. I find this one curious, found in Exodus 30 verse 11. Because ransom money was also used to provide an atonement for life. In Exodus 30, 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give everyone that passes among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, and half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. And everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. And when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. That's one thing we could easily have overlooked. That money, in one instance, ransom money, could be used to for the support services of, yes, the money would go towards the running of the tabernacle and so on. But I believe the most frequently mentioned means of atonement in the Old Testament were the blood sacrifices. And this has turned off a lot of people. Because they picture God as this arrogant, bloodthirsty, angry God who wants blood all the time. But you know, people have a way of only wanting to hear about the God of the Bible and what they do from what they don't do. They didn't think of in the Mayan culture or the Aztecs where human beings were sacrificed by the scores, because those gods could never be appeased. They were always angry. And they were a bunch of Draculas if they existed, because they want blood all the time, human blood. But nobody talks about that.
So we see the blood sacrifices, but animal, the blood of animals, being used for the atonement for sin, number 1647. And one just have to understand that something went down in Eden that just couldn't be left alone. Because if that was the case, you and I wouldn't be talking today or being gathered here today before the throne of grace. Something had to make an atonement for that event, for that blunder. Number 16, verse 47 tells us, "And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun." So there's going to be punishment for this this blunder, so to speak. "And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people." So for them to avoid this plague, an atonement was needed. "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." So people were dying and there were people alive, and Moses did what he had to do, and the plague stopped. "And now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah," you know, with the sons of Korah. 14,000 people. And it was an atonement on their behalf that halted the plague. So we see the rigors of, well, not rigors, but we see the nuances of atonement being used for different purposes. Numbers 15:22. "And if you have erred and not observe all these commandments which the Lord Moses has spoken unto, which the Lord has spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord has commanded you in the hand of Moses, and from that day the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforth among your generation, then it shall be, if ought to be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one of the goats for sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance." So ignorance. There was an atonement for that. Interesting. You see what this is pointing to, brethren? I hope you can see the bigger picture. That there were always these atonements for these different little things. Come into something much bigger. Much bigger. So this concept of atonement in the Old Testament, even inanimate objects involve atonement. Even inanimate objects, such, you know, you have a house, and one morning you wake up, oh, the house mildew. You know what is mildew? We call it, we have a word for it nowadays. We call it different things, but mold. Yeah, mold. So you get up one morning, there is mold on your house. Wow. There's an atonement for that. Yes. Yes, well, we're going to come back to that later. I think one of the central pictures or imagery of atonement is in Leviticus 16:6, which also involved the use of an animal, the scapegoat, in the atonement rituals. And I know there has been a lot of talk in the church over the years about the scapegoat and who is the scapegoat. We're not going to go into that today. Verse 6 of Leviticus 16 says, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and his house. So you notice, even Aaron had to make an atonement for himself and his family. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat of which, on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat which the lot fell to be shall the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement upon it and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. So I think this is fundamental, and I know the Day of Atonement is a central theme here regarding this. But what this is bringing out, what this atonement of Leviticus 16 is bringing out, it brings out a number of things. One, the sovereignty of God in the atonement. That this is God. I have the prerogative. I have the power. I have the right. I have the might to do anything I want to do. Anything. I have the prerogative to choose a nation because of a promise I made to their forefathers to be my chosen people. And I have that right because guess what? I wasn't dealing with any other nation. I didn't know no other nation. Amos 3. I didn't. You are the one I chose. You are going to be my special people. And guess what? Here's a bigger picture. I'm going to use you to achieve what I want for all the nations and families of the earth. Of the earth. Not just you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to make an Israel of God for the whole universe. Some may not see it. Some may not see the relevance. Some may call me discriminatory. How can a God just choose one nation and leave the others? But guess what? There's come a time in the plan as well when the other nations will be grafted. And so the promise I made to Abraham, you're going to be a part of that too. So God is sovereign. That is telling us in this example here. Also what we see coming out is the purpose and the result of that sacrifice, of that atonement sacrifice. That one has to bear the sins of all the people once and for all. Not every year, as the custom was, once and for all, one sacrifice for the entire universe. So of the, I know the figures are all over the place, but between 57 and 110 and 10 billion people have already lived since creation. That's the estimate. They don't know the exact figure, but between 57 billion and 110 billion people have ever lived. We don't know how many more will live before Christ returns. But for every single one of those persons who have been born, they fall under this plan. Can you imagine that? And purpose. That one has to come to bear the sins of every single soul who has ever been born. Wow. So the two goats emphasize two different things about the removal of sin. One, that Aaron had to make a special sacrifice for himself, although he was the priest. Yes. But the quality and deeper meaning of the act is that this one person has to bear the sins of every human being. So So atonement for inanimate objects, as I referred to earlier. And you're seeing this contrast. You're seeing it with atonement for human errors and so on. You're seeing it for objects that have no life. What's the point of that? What's really the point of that? Again, we can go back to the sovereignty of God. We find that in many places in the Old Testament for that. Exodus 29, we can go there. Exodus 29 verse 36, it said, "You shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement, and you shall cleanse" what? The altar. The altar. Again, a lot of meaning in that. The altar, when you make an atonement for it, and you shall anoint it, and you shall sanctify it. Brethren, this is telling us that, you see, anything that has to do with God, you just sang about it, it has to be holy. It's holiness. And we see many examples of that. Moses. You're standing on holy ground. You're in the presence of God. You see, when you come here, brethren, we come here every Saturday. It's a ritual, right? We take it, we just come here, and we come and we sit and we sing and we listen to someone speak from here. And I'm wondering if we sometimes get the message. And oftentimes you hear me say it, and I said just a while ago, this is the throne of grace. It represents that. I believe, and I hope you do, that God's presence is here right now. Amen. That angels surround this building, and He's here. So anything to do with God, we see that holiness that is demanded of Him. And it goes back again to His appointed times. So He gives you hours and days and years to do whatever you want. But He has appointed times. And guess what, brethren? These appointed times are what? They're Sabbaths. And Sabbaths are holy time. Holy time. So we see these things. Yes, the altar. Even for the altar. You shall anoint it. You shall sanctify it. And only God can deem sanctification. Only God can determine what is holy. So on the instruction of Yahweh, He said, "You shall sanctify it. You shall make it holy. You shall make it holy." So 7 days you shall make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Wow. So you see this word atonement? It's a big word. It's a huge word. It's a significant word for us as Christians. And hear this now. Hear this. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. I've told you already. Sometimes I come to this pulpit and I tremble. I tremble. And I'll tell you why I tremble, Wayne. Because I have to take this responsibility seriously. I have to. Because if I'm here running up my mouth about God, then surely I must know what I'm getting into. And for everyone who uses this pulpit, that should be the thinking. That we have a great responsibility to tell you things that we believe God is inspiring us to tell you. Amen. To tell you. So atonement brings out all of these important facets of the mercy of God and the grace that has extended, that is represented in this day. Chapter 30 verse 10. "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year you shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations." The horns that are blown
it is most holy to the Lord. Leviticus 8:15. And he brought out the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering, and Moses killed it. Then he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his fingers and purified the altar. And then he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make an atonement for it. Yeah. Yeah. We can go to another one in Leviticus 14:53. Cleanliness, purification. In one of the stranger passages of the, you know, of the law, God instructs Moses about some purification rites, and they are to apply to a house. A house that has mildew going all over it. And that is telling us something too, that you can, you know, something is, you shouldn't ignore it, because there are health issues as well. Leviticus 14:33. So we are going up to something bigger. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when you become into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemed to me that there, as it were, a plague in the house. And then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, and all that is in the house being not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house. And plague here is not just, you know, what we call plague. It could be any abnormality, anything, just like a mildew and so on. In the walls of the house, with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall. Then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread into the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust which they scrape off the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of the stones, and he shall take the mortar and shall plaster the house. You see, all of these processes that they're going through and what it involves. But we're not going to read all of that. And we shall go down to verse 52. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird. So we see bird here now, birds even being used. And with running water, with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and the scarlet. And he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields to do what? To make an atonement for the house. Now, a carnal mind reading this would say, you know what, this is just foolishness. Why not knock down the house and build a new house? And, you know, man's thinking. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He knows what he's doing. You think he's just doing this just for doing sake? This is a test of obedience. And that is why many people don't observe the Day of Atonement. Because they are disobeying what God says. It's a test of disobedience. And Israel fell into that category many times. Because when God said do this, they do something else. And today they are doing it. Humanity is doing it today. God said thou shalt not do this. No, human said no, we shall do. That's the mentality and the attitude. And brethren, that is why we need the atoning sacrifice of Yahweh. That's why we need it. Because we have a way of want to go the other end, around the other side. So I could go on and on and on. I know we're not in any haste to go home today. Right? I hear the growling stomachs. The loud noise, but you know what is common among all of us today? So if you pass a friend and you hear, might very happen, may very well happen to you in the next minute. So all of us have that commonality today, so don't feel no way. But this is just temporary. Temporary. So the message here is clear. It's coming out. We see atonement for consecrating the altar. And guess what? Even the feast. Ezekiel 45:18. Even the feast. Thus saith the Lord God, in the first month, of the first day of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. Cleanse it. The priest shall take some of the blood of a sin offering and put it on the doorposts of the temple, on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, and on the gateposts of the gate of the inner court. And so you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance. Then you shall make an atonement for the temple. So we see, brethren, all of these things going on. Purification of a building and so on. Now, let's pause for a moment. The majority of the earth's population of 7 billion people. How many people are observing the Day of Atonement today? It would be interesting. I would be interesting to know, from my own curiosity, how many people are observing the Day of Atonement today? It's infinitesimally small. Very, very few. And the great deceiver, Satan the devil, who wants people to believe he doesn't exist, and people are drinking that Kool-Aid, so there's no devil, and that's what he wants them to believe, that there's no devil. Because the deception would be easier. Amen. The Day of Atonement also pictures the day when Satan the devil will be bounded for 1,000 years. You realize that? So he will deceive the nations. No more. So coming out of this day too is the fact that not many people are observing the Day of Atonement. God calls many, but many do not respond. And they're also deceived into believing, oh, this is just a day. Some don't even know. Ignorance. And we see even there was an atonement for ignorance. But God, being sovereign, as we see coming out in this day as well, where every single human being of the between 57 and 110 billion ever lived, will have that opportunity to face God and be exposed to who he is and what he stands for, and to accept or reject. But don't ever think for one moment you are in that category. God, this is your day of salvation. This is your day. So we come now to the New Testament. So we see all of these atonement shaping up in the old and for different things that sometimes is not very clear. And we now come to the incarnation. When Emmanuel, God be with us, the announcement of his birth, I don't think it came with much fanfare as it does on the so-called birthday of December 25th. Those whom the birth affected, they knew and they heard. There was rejoicing. Because the priest, the high priest, or high priest, and the order of Melchizedek, would now start his mission for the atoning sacrifice that he came to deliver. And so he was born, walked the earth, had his mission here. And then there came that time when he had to die for you and I. One of the most significant events in human history that has rescued us from death, eternal death. An event that will cause the dead, no matter how long they have died, whether they live from the age of Methuselah or just a few weeks or days, it doesn't matter. They are coming back to life. And for in some cases, life eternal. I can stay here, I can stand here, and you can too, and visualize and get the imagery of perhaps how change is going to come because of the atonement. I can take comfort in the fact that, you know, sometimes you would wish the Feast of Tabernacles is every day. Right? Right? I don't hear anybody answer. I feel like I would live the Feast of Tabernacles every day. I feel the fall, nice, fresh winter breeze caressing my nostrils, and I know it's time. It's God's appointed time. Every year I feel it. I'm feeling it now. To be honest with you, I don't feel like doing any work. No, that's how I feel this time of the year. I don't want to go work. Even to prepare a sermon, I just want to relax. I want to live the kingdom. That's how it is. And I think that is how we should feel, because in the scriptures it says we should rejoice. Rejoice for what? Because there's a glorious future that is coming upon us. A glorious future without any of the ailments and all, any of the troubles you have in your life today. Not about flashing off to heaven to sit on clouds. Not that. Something more tangible, something more real, something more meaningful. Because the word of God tells me we're going to be kings and priests. Amen. And that tells me there's a role cut out for us. True. Right? Yeah. It tells me a time is coming when we're going to see the new city, Jerusalem. Yeah. Made of gold. Made of gold. And this body ain't going to be physical. Amen. It is going to be something else. And the bodies of the dead, when they are raised, not going to look like the dry bones and the ashes or whatever it deteriorates to. All that is going to change. Man, I tell you, I'm so struck by these promises of God that I know 1,000,000%, 1,000,000,000% is going to be true. Amen. It is those promises are going to be true. And I, you know what I do sometimes too, I know this sounds a little weird, but sometimes I say, I hope I can remember when I'm changed into my new body, what will be the first words I'm going to say.
Wow.
Wow. That's a good word. Wow! Wow! This is it? This is it? My hand just went through the wall. You is, sister, you is? Let's fly. Let's fly. There's no sun. There's no sun. But light is all around. There are no moon. There are no stars.
But light is all around. Look at sister. Look at brother. Look at, they're here. Brethren, as we approach this time of the year, made possible by the atoning sacrifice, let us cultivate some of these positiveness and think of what lies ahead for you and for me. When King Jesus reigns, when King Jesus takes over all the kingdoms of this world, and all the kingdoms of this world become one. No strife among nations. No strife among religions. No clawing for the money. Money's gonna mean nothing. Wow. And how is that gonna make possible? Hebrews 9:6 tells us. Now these things that has been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. So priests had a laborious work to go up every year and to make the sacrifices, and every year keeps doing it without unending. But, verse 7, into the second part of the high priest, he went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. The only concern only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Well, time of Reformation did come. And things are now different. We didn't have to go through or witness all of that because it was just what had to be done. That was what God commanded. But verse 11 says, but Christ now being come as a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, none of this building, no more atonement for the altar, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So those blood, drops of blood that just came on the face and they just crawled down and they dropped in this dust at Golgotha or along the Via del Rosa. Every single one of those blood drops was significant. And when he was on that cross, or stake, or tree, whatever the case may be, I don't get into these, you know, endless arguments whether it was a stake or a tree. That's not the substance. Mm-hmm. Substance, he died for us. And when he lied there, when he was hung there, and we know, we can't really know what was going through his mind, but he knew what was ahead of us, ahead of him rather. And I tell you, when I watch these movies and I see that little, you know, when the great earthquake happened and the veil of the temple ripped in two and darkness upon the land, I can imagine how people were just, not a lot of people. Well, even the followers, they weren't even sure themselves. But there might have been some who kept saying, yeah, this was the Son of God. Even one of the soldiers recognized that. This was Messiah. This was the promised one. This was the one who came to die for our sins. Indeed, he was. And from that very second, brethren, when that breath went, Bible says he gave up the spirit. When that moment occurred in history, the atoning sacrifice was complete. So you and I, now today, sinners, yes, sinners saved by the blood. And I know Louis, Brother Louis did a sermon some time ago where he was talking about if we are truly sinners and so on. Yes, so we are sinners in a sense. But that category left us at that very moment when that breath went. I'm born with, I have a propensity to sin. And you too. Don't know of anyone who can claim that they haven't sinned in their lives. We have a tendency to want to sin. Because the old man keeps, you know, haunting us and keeps coming back sometime. You know, I like to talk to elderly people. It's one of my joy, especially at the Feast of Tabernacles, to sit with I don't even like to call them elderly people. Seasoned people. Seasoned with wisdom. And to talk with them about life and, you know, how they think about life and their experiences and so on. And you can get some very good vibes from that. But sometimes in our walk with God, there's the old man, he just keeps coming back. And he is as if he looks for the time when you're most vulnerable to want to invade your life. But that is part of the journey. It's part of the journey. If we suffer with him, we're going to be glorified with him also. Amen. He keeps coming back. But brethren, the good thing is that moment when that breath went, our hope was changed so much for the better. Because it gives us this new hope that even when I sin, that grace was there to take care. And I'm no longer justified by what I do or what I say. I'm justified by that, by those drops of blood that led to his demise. Wow. Wow. So it's no longer the blood of both the goats and bulls, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? Jesus Christ did not have to do this. He did not have to do it. The Father didn't have to send him. They could continue living their glorious life. But why? Why? Why did he have to come? Why? What was the reasoning behind Yahweh sending his only son, the only one, the only begotten one? The answer is clear. It was love. Love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Wow. And so we come today on this Day of Atonement to remind ourselves and to recognize what the Son did for us in obedience to his Father's wish, so that you and I can now rejoice, observe and celebrate, and count down the seconds and the minutes when everything will change.
We have seconds to live. You know that. You know we have seconds to live. Yeah. Each second go by, you're nearer to death. But I don't look at it that way. I say each second goes by, I'm nearer to the kingdom. Nearer to the kingdom. And we know the kingdom is going to come. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And he has committed us to the message of atonement, of reconciliation, bringing us back to him because of what he did. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Put him first above everything else. Put him above your wife. Put him above your husband. Put him above your children. Put him above your car, your job, your house, the food you like, everything. He comes first. So don't come talk about, oh yes, I'm reconciled to God and I have double-minded about whether he should come first. He comes first. First. And some people can't understand that. They say, oh, your God is so selfish. Who made you? You made yourself? Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin, no sin, to be sin for us. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. And this is where, brethren, we are going. This is where we are getting into. Being justified by the atonement. This is where we are getting into. This is where we are heading. Because guess what? We see a city far off. And we are going there. We are going there. Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Of Abel. We are on a journey. We are on a journey, and insight is the reality of the atonement and what it's going to do for you and me. So brethren, over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to encourage all of us, the times that you have to spend with Yahweh and his people, you are the saints of God. Remember that. You are the ambassadors of Christ. You are the shining light out there in this world of utter darkness. Let your thoughts be unto God and what he has promised you. Let your examples be for Yahweh and what he stands for. Let your holiness shine among your saints, brothers and sisters, and among those whom you come in contact with. Because remember, we are only passing through. We're just pilgrims. We're just sojourners. Thanks. Not here to build. You know, when they're building those skyscrapers, engineer was telling me that you'd be surprised if you see the amount of steel that goes beyond underground. They're sometimes almost as tall as the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We're not putting down so much roots. We want to stand on firm ground, and this is your firm ground.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. So brethren, I say you now go to the Feast of Tabernacles and rejoice in your dwelling.
Amen.
And give praises to Yahweh. Amen. For sending his only begotten Son, so the atonement will be real for us in the fullness of time.